really fits. In fact, it will fit your job. It will fit your life, whatever facet of your life you consider. Though rarely observed, this sermon would fit politicians. Really well, as you're going to see. Every person should abide by it in his treatment of this planet, Earth, upon which we find ourselves and have custodian abilities. You're about to see this is a really practical sermon. I think you're going to see that. One that should be practiced in your life. And really a message and an idea that should be practiced throughout all facets of our society. This sermon is based on what the Bible says. And I have to remind you that what the Bible says is more important than what anybody says. Really. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. I told you it was going to meddle. Right off the bat, it got quiet in the room. We're talking about stewardship and faithfulness. Whoa. Wow. Faithful stewards. That's the theme of our church here in 2018. And this is the key verse. You see these little signs here on both sides that are a reminder to us about faithfulness. And obviously this verse 2, is about faithfulness. In it, there are three key words that I'm going to bring to your attention. In fact, this message pretty well preaches itself. It's that kind of message. The three words are very simple, and they're right here. One of them is stewards. One of them is faithfulness. And one of them is required. They're all right there in verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're just going to look at chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 momentarily, and look at the first key words, which is stewards. So I will read the verses, both of them now, not just verse 2, but also verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards, there it is, of the mysteries of God. And then verse 2, moreover, it is required, there's the word in stewards again, that a man be found faithful. There's the third word that I brought to your attention. So let's talk about stewards. I want to make sure all of us in the room have a good concept of what a steward really is. I want you to get a really good hold on the meaning of this word. The word steward is from a compound Greek word, oikonomos, and it means manager, overseer, agent, governor, treasurer. No doubt you get the idea. Old Testament Joseph was a steward over Pharaoh's house. He had management abilities and authority to manage the goods of Pharaoh. Daniel was a steward to Nebuchadnezzar. He again had management abilities. He had certain privileges and rights and was a really authority under the power of his overseer. A steward takes care of the property of somebody else. Yeah, pretty easy, isn't it? Just take care of the property of somebody else. A steward's given a certain degree of liberty, and he can do or she can do with the owner's property whatever the steward wants to do. That goes along with being a steward. You're given authority over this property, over this entity, over a certain area of the work. Do with it as you please. Stewardship grows out of the idea of being a steward. Obviously, if you're a steward, then you have stewardship responsibilities, and so they go together. And with the idea of stewardship comes the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. What stewardship takes with it, the careful management of something that belongs to somebody else but is under your authority. And you can make choices and decisions with it, but you better be careful how you manage somebody else's property. The steward merely has authority and responsibility over material things and entities that belong to somebody else. So that's the idea of a steward, and goes with this stewardship concept. By its nature, stewardship implies a certain degree of trust. If somebody's going to give you authority over his money, over his land, over his other possessions, then it is obvious that he has to trust you to do that. He believes you will take good care. He thinks you will do the job that you're supposed to do. The owner trusts the steward enough to place certain possessions and responsibilities into his hand. So the steward has the oversight. The steward is the manager of that. There's a risk involved. And the steward can lose everything that belongs to the manager. Because he's kind of like a blank check in some areas. He can go out and invest it in a good way, or he can waste it away in a poor way. But that's the freedom, that's the right or the opportunity that a steward has when managing somebody else's property. Also, with the idea of stewardship comes expectations and accountability. It's not all about you can do whatever you want to do. Yes, that's a part of it. But if you're somebody's steward, that person that let you manage his or her things or properties expects something out of you as a steward. There's some accountability that's in this picture. This truth really shines in Matthew 25. In verses 14 through 29. And that's a lengthy reading, and I will not take the time to read it, but I will summarize to you that this is a story told by Jesus Christ. Keep in mind who the authority is here. And he talked about a man who had certain possessions and who went away, was going to make a trip, go off for an extended period of time, and he left his goods, his monies, at least some of them, and his properties and all the facilities that he had and material goods in the hand, in this case, of three stewards. Gave them each a certain part. One, you see, he trusted a little more than he did some others. So he gave some more talents or more of his goods than he gave to others. And that's the way it is in real life. Not all of us have the same abilities. And not all of us are maybe as trustworthy as we ought to be. And the Lord knows. So in this case, you have a picture of a Lord with lots of material goods who's going away and needs his things managed while he's gone on this extended trip. And so he goes away, apparently for a long time, maybe a year or longer. He goes away so the stewards have ample opportunity to manage well or poorly his property. But he goes away giving these three his property for managing or stewardship. They can do with it what they want to do. However, the big boss, the owner, is coming back. And he's bringing in the stewards one at a time. He brings in number one. How did you do? Give an accounting. I gave you this. What do you have now? What did you do with it? Where did you put it? You knew me. You understand how I think. I expected you to do it well and follow my example of stewardship and ownership and investing. How did you do, buddy? And so here comes the guy, and he answers for that which was entrusted to him. And he did well, I might say. And then here comes in another steward, number two, who didn't get as much as number one got, but who has the same accountability and who has to answer for what he did get. And a good thing about just owners is they do not expect you to do what you cannot do and what was not entrusted to you. They expect you to do what you can do, what you do have the capacity to do. But if you have the capacity as a three-talent steward to do what a five-talent steward could do, you don't have to do all the five-talent steward could do or the ten-talent steward could do, but you need to give it 100% just like the five-talent or ten-talent steward. Everybody is to do what he can, and he don't expect you to have in your custody what he gave to somebody else, which was more, but he sure expects you to do 100% what you had, And he's going to ask about that. This steward or this master brought in every steward. And I might say that I'm looking at a house full of stewards. And he said, I want to know how you did. There was another guy out there too. He was just a one-quart jug, I would call him. I mean, just a little guy. I mean, didn't apparently have a whole lot of ability, and the master knew that, and he didn't give him a whole lot of his goods and didn't give him a big role of stewardship, but he gave him some. And he brought him in. How'd you do? Here's what I gave you. What'd you do with it? How'd you give an accounting? Well, I knew you were a hard man, and I didn't want to lose anything, so I went and hid it in the ground. And here it is. You gave me one. Here's one back. That's all. I'm just giving it. I kept it for you. You're a wretch. You slothful steward. You should have gone out and invested like these other guys did. I didn't expect you to do what the 10 guy did or the 5 guy did, but I expected you to do what I gave you with this one, and you hit it, and I am unhappy with you. And I'll tell you, you can read the story for yourself in detail, but I don't want you to miss the story. This is not just an Old Testament or New Testament tale about something that happened way back there that has no bearing on you. Remember that the book that I call the Bible that I'm holding in my hand is a book for us. It's about life. It's about your life and about my life. And I've already told you that every one of us is a steward. You may not have what somebody else has. You may not be able to sing like Amber sang. You may not be able to give like some other people are able to give. But everybody has something entrusted to him. The story here is about our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has entrusted us with his work, the work of winning people, the work of the church, the work of Christendom. It's what he's entrusted to you and me. Not every one of us has the same abilities, but every one of us is entrusted to be involved in stewardship of what the Lord's doing here and what he wants done while he's gone. And I have to remind us, every one of us, that as he went away, so shall he come again. He went back to heaven, but let me tell you, the owner of what is in your bank account, the owner of your car, the owner of your house, the owner of everything you have is not you, it is him. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we sometimes get kind of arrogant thinking, well, this is my money and I will do with my life and myself what I want to do. Just remember, nobody here is an owner. Everybody here who knows the Lord is a steward. We're managing what the Lord owns. And he's looking and going to come back one of these days, I think rather soon. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Everybody ought to say amen right there. Yes, I'm looking for the second coming of the Lord. It's going to be a glorious time when he comes back and takes us to be with him, where we will live with him out of this sin-cursed world, where there will be no more sorrow and tears and death and those things we've been talking about. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, if you're a slothful steward, no doubt the second coming of the master, when you're going to have to give an account for your stewardship, you're not going to be so happy. Not going to be so glorious when you have to answer for the money he gave you and the account says this was the tithe and you used it to buy a car or do something else with it. Or when he asked you to win somebody to the Lord and your next door neighbor that you knew and talked to died and went to hell and you never really gave the gospel to him or her. I'm talking about real stewardship. It's the reality that we're his and we're in charge of his goods. And the fact is, he expects us to invest them in the marketplace according to the guidelines he's given in the written book called the Bible, and that one of these days, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God according to the Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. Every one of us shall answer for our stewardship. Just want to establish a foundation about what we're talking about when we say faithful stewardship. It's required in stewards. Every one of us is in this picture here. If you're a child of God, you're in charge of working for him. Now let's look at another of these words here, and that word is faithful. Seems like the Lord just picking on us today, doesn't it? Yeah, faithful. What does faithful mean? What does this word mean? Oh, me. Such a common word. Such a common word, but so ignored, so ignored. It seems to mean so little to so many. Even to Christians who've been given stewardship over the things of God, including the work of the Church of the Living God, it seems that faithfulness is not in the vocabulary. Somehow it dropped off the radar, and nobody seemed to hardly notice that it did. Faithful is a Greek word that appears 67 times in your King James Bible. It's not like it's just an esoteric word that shows up once or twice. It would be okay if it did, but in this case, God just boop and boop and just brings it up and brings it up again and again and again. So it means exactly what you think it does. You say, what is the meaning of the Greek word that's translated faithful into English? Faithful. That's what it means. It's not like it's hard to figure out. Sure, true, trustworthy. With faithful, you think of dependable, don't you? Yeah. Synonym, reliable. Loyal. Fidelity. Trusted. You don't imagine that a rich owner is going to entrust something to you if you're not to be entrusted. If he doesn't think you're trustworthy. Yeah. So you think of trusted, a trusted servant, a trusted steward. I think we all know that a clock that is just accurate twice a day is not very trustworthy. You don't want that by your bed. You don't want that to wake up by in the morning. Your boss is going to fire you for being late five minutes in a row, you want the clock to wake up. You don't want it to be just right now and then and just be there okay every now and then. No, you don't want that. Faithfulness is required in stewards. It's what it says. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is fidelity, which means plain honesty. And it's the essential requirement of all stewardship. The essential requirement. The number one. The elephant in the closet. The big boy in the house. The big boss. I'm talking about stewardship requires faithfulness. It's a supreme quality. And it's especially true with the handling of money and the handling of material goods, which gets rather pinched, you know, at a time like this. Apart from faithfulness, a steward is untrustworthy, is useless, is absolutely worthless, and of no value. And if you think that's not true, go back to Matthew 25 and read the story about the three stewards. And see what the master, the owner, said to the guy who was unfaithful. You unworthy servant, cast him out of here. I don't want a guy like that being a steward for me. I don't want him in charge of my church. I don't want him in charge of my music. I don't want him in charge of teaching. I don't want him to be an usher. I don't want him involved. I want faithful people that I can trust to be in charge of my work, who will stand up for me and stand up for my interest and do what a steward ought to do. That's who I'm looking for here. Solomon said that confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That's Proverbs 25 and verse 19. I had a little experience with a broken tooth. Back in 1967, in December, I was headed from Beaumont, Texas to Midland to preach a revival. It was Thursday morning, December 7th, and it was real foggy, and I was going down two-lane road, old Highway 90 at the time, between China and Nome, about 20 miles this side of Beaumont. And I was antsy, doing dumb stuff, like passing in the fog, not real smart. And I did, though. I passed an old rice truck going 15 miles an hour, and I'm going around him, and I got just about even with him, when all of a sudden, right out of the fog, an 18-wheeler hauling drill stem, and a workover rig was right there in my way, about from here at the back of the building. And I saw the guy sitting up there, and I tried to go that way, and I couldn't make it, and he ran over me. And I'm talking about he broke a bunch of stuff, a bunch of ribs, a bunch of my arm here, my pelvis, my hip, and just a whole bunch of stuff. I think he messed with my head a little bit. Anyway, he did it. And boy, one of the things I didn't know, I mean, they took me there into the surgery over there and sewed me up. And one of the things they did is sewed my mouth together. I mean, I broke my jaw right here. And so they sewed my mouth together, the orthopedic doctor did. And I was, you know, eating through a straw. I have an overbite. And so Margaret made Christmas dinner, and she put it in a blender. I made a blender too, I guess. Anyway, I ate it through a straw that particular Christmas. But a little while later, you know, a month or so, I went back to the doctor, and they took these wires. They didn't just put a rubber. They put a piece of metal. I couldn't move it. And so I was so happy to brush my teeth. Just felt like I really needed it. Way overdue. Had all much stuff. But what I didn't realize is that back here, one of these molars on the bottom, the inside part had split. And they didn't know that, and I didn't know that until in April, when I finally got up out of the bed and was sitting in a wheelchair, and I asked Margaret to prepare one of my favorite foods, and that's fried chicken. They say a lot of chickens have entered the ministry, you know. Well, I wanted to eat some fried chicken, so she had it for me, and I'm sitting in the wheelchair, and I'm chewing. I'd already realized I had a problem on this side. I didn't know what it was totally, but I'm chewing on this side here and enjoying the chicken so much till I forgot, and I transferred it to this side. And when I bit down, I'm talking about a pain that started here and went to past my belly button down here into my leg. I thought somebody had surely shot me or done something really bad to me. I mean, and I have a new appreciation for a broken tooth and unfaithfulness. When you can't depend on it, when it doesn't do what it's designed to do, what it's there to do, there's a problem. And Solomon is saying here that an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth. An unfaithful person that you can't depend upon is like a broken tooth out of joint. And I will tell you today, again, in the work of God, anything that's going to be of real value, there has to be faithfulness if you're a steward over any aspect in the work of God. And all of us as saved people are stewards of His. Every one of us, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Just as in the case of other owners, our owner, Jesus Christ, expects us, we who are His today, to be faithful. That to be our chief trait. Number one, besides love, we're to be faithful in His service. Now, faithfulness is the well from which all other usefulness to God springs. It's like a spring, a well, not a cistern that catches running down in water, but a well where there's an underground river or a spring of some sort, and water's feeding into there. And I'm telling you, that faithfulness is the well from which other aspects of service to God that really count are going to come. I'll tell you, having a teacher, a choir member, a deacon, a treasurer, committeeman, or a pianist who is unfaithful and not dependable is in many ways worse than not having one at all. If I know that I've got to do it myself, I will make other arrangements, and I'll get it covered. But to depend upon somebody, to think they're going to do it, and then they don't show, and it's not done, unfaithfulness, it disarms, and people get in an uproar about it, and they want to get all bent out of shape about, well, why didn't this get done? Why didn't this get taken care of? I'm talking about the reality of faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be there. It's number one. It has to be a trait from which other things come. Not everyone is talented. I've said that. Not everybody is rich. Not everybody's in a position to do something grand. But every one of us can be faithful. You may not be able to sing like a bird. You may be able not to preach a sermon. You may not be able to give lots of money. You may not be able to do a whole lot of other things, but you can be faithful to what you are doing and what God expects you as his stewards to do. A believer with one talent can be just as faithful with that one talent as that believer with 10 talents could be. You see, it's not something that requires some special skill, some special ability, some anointing from God to be a faithful person. Everybody can be. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. A poor man can be just as responsible to tithe. A poor man can be just as responsible to manage the cause of Christ and his money and time as a rich man. There are no legitimate reasons for being unfaithful. Sometimes there are providential hindrances. In my personal case, I was in that old Chevrolet car, old 64 Chevrolet, hardtop car, going down Highway 90 heading west, going to Midland, Texas. And I'm telling you, by the time the truck went over the car, the hood is still on the bumper of the truck. The top of the car is gone. The two doors on the right broke at the hinges and fell in the street out there, and these two broke off the hinges and fell out there. The tires were all popped and flattened, and the engine is right in the seat behind, right beside me, and my arm is broke where I hit it on the top of the dash and the heel. The bottom of the dash cracked here where my heel or my knee hit it. It's a mess, and my blood's over the steering. I mean, it's just a mess. Guess what? I didn't make it to Midland. When the doctor came in the room, got to Baptist Hospital, oh, Dr. Mann, he's 6 feet six. He looked down at me, and I tried to smile at him. And I asked him about Margaret. He said, I'm going to let her come in a little bit. You know, first thing I said to him after that, Dr. Mann, you got to hurry up and get me out of here. I got to preach in Midland tonight. He looked at me like he was looking at a crazy man. He said, you're not going to make it to Midland tonight. Took me a little while to process that, and I thought, you got to get somebody to call them and tell them I'll be there tomorrow night. You know, hard loser. I'm talking about the reality. I couldn't. There are some times you can't do it. But it better not be an excuse. It better not be, I couldn't go to church today. I didn't feel good, but I can go to work tomorrow. You think God's dumb enough to believe that? You think he can't see through smoke screens? And all the excuses that we put up for not even being in church, let alone doing the service of God and getting engaged, God knows about the need. He said it. I mean, it's right in the Bible. I didn't have to make this sermon up. I'll tell you, it's right here. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And let me tell you, you will never be, I will never be, nobody will ever be of serious, sustained value to the cause of Christ until they get hold of faithfulness and realize I have to be dependable. I have to be counted on. I have to do what I say I will do. And there will be exceptions. An ox will get in the ditch, but it needs to be the exception and not a pattern of my life. And do not imagine, brothers and sisters, that as a steward of God, as a child of his, who's entrusted with his work on this earth, do not imagine that you will do very well at the judgment seat of Christ if you haven't been faithful. You know, when you get to in a sermon like this to this point, nearly everybody's ready to leave. Hello, preacher, would you hurry? I mean, get this fast. I'll have to take this worm in here. I don't feel real good about it. Well, let me get to the final key word here. The final key word. The word is required. Now that puts a little extra layer on here. Webster says require means to demand as necessary or essential. That's what it means. Necessary or essential. For stewards, faithfulness is not an option. That's what it's saying here. Faithfulness is not an option. There's no way to please the Lord apart from it. Though he entrusts stewards to be faithful with his resources and his work, his stories on stewardship are crystal clear. I mean, they are about faithfulness. They're about counted on. I'm going to be there. Go back to that Matthew 25 story, and it just stands out like a beacon there and says, you got to be faithful to be a good steward. That's one of the requirements. And there is an expectation in the picture, an expectation. When he brings up the word required, it's like, I'm expecting you to do it. I'm expecting you to be a faithful steward. God expects his stewards to be trustworthy. He expects them to be dependable. They're to be that way all the time, routinely, not just now and then. To a blood-bought Christian who's entrusted with the resources and the work of God, faithfulness should be his daily approach to life, his daily service, not just Sundays, but every day I'm going to talk to God. Every day I'm going to let him talk to me in his word. Every day I'm going to be honest. Every day I'm going to pay my bills. Every day I'm going to return good for evil, not evil for evil. I'm not going to carry grudges any day. I'm not going to try to do bad things and get away with them any day. I'm not going to be known for my excuses. I'm going to get up and serve God. It's my life. It's like the blood that flows through my veins. And it touches every organ, every piece of bone, every cell in my body. And the cells die if they don't get the blood. And my work in the work of God will perish if I'm not faithful. It's a part of me. I will be a faithful steward. It is a requirement that I be a faithful steward. God expects it. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I keep repeating that text because it is so vital to the ministry, the cause of Christ. Three simple words, aren't they? Very simple words. Steward, faithful, and required. Yeah. They need very little explanation, in my opinion. I mean, they kind of speak for themselves. From this text, our theme for the year is faithful stewards. This morning, I'm asking you to take a good look at your stewardship. What is your record of stewardship? I'm asking you to take a good look at it. I must say here, there is somebody else who's already taken a good look at it. He's the Lord God of heaven. Every one of us shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What's the basis of the judgment? Our record, our stewardship record, that's it. We, when as Christians stand before the judgment, we're not being there to see if we're saved or lost. We wouldn't be there if we weren't already saved. That's judgment of the saved. Judgment of the lost comes at a different time. But of all the saved people, the basis of the judgment is stewardship. What did we do with the time that God let us have? What did we do with the money God let us have? What did we do with the talents that God gave to us? They are his, not ours. So how do we use them? Were we faithful? Or were we hit and miss? How about our record? I think it's better to take a look at it now than to wait till then and kind of get the book thrown. After all, when we're at the judgment seat of Christ, it's a little late to change anything. I mean, it's a done deal. You've already lived and died, and there you are at the judgment seat of Christ and giving an account, so there's no going back and wiping up the spilled milk or fixing anything that was broken or any of that. None of that. It's done. It's a done deal. It's over. But now that's not the case. Today is the day of salvation. Today we can look at ourselves and, boy, it's such a good thing to get in the mirror. Not just get in the window where you can see out there and look across, what's my neighbor doing? It doesn't matter. You won't be answering for your neighbor. You'll be answering for you. Yeah. So it's a good thing to not stand at a window and look over at the neighbor and see what they're doing. Somebody else at church, it's a look in that mirror and see what you're doing. What does your record say? How faithful? Well, I don't have lots of money. You don't have to be faithful. I don't have lots of talent. You don't have to have talent to be faithful. I don't have a lot of time. You don't have to have a lot of time to be faithful. Just be faithful. I mean, it can fits everywhere. Like I said, I wish our politicians were more faithful, don't you? Yeah. I wish I was more faithful. It's easy to float. It's easy just to say everything's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right at the judgment seat of Christ if we neglect the work of God. I'm not talking about just going to church. That's just a part of it. I'm talking about faithfulness as a Christian. We are ambassadors for Christ. Every day we represent Him. At work, in the neighborhood, with the family, at church, every day. Stewardship is our job. We represent the King of Kings. We have His time, His talent, His treasure in our custody. He has entrusted us, and He expects us to be dependable and use it well. And then when we do, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what He said to those two who invested, the one with the 10 and one with the 5, and did it, doubled them. Well done. But to the one who floated, the one who was unfaithfulness, cast him out of here. I cannot use a steward like that. Father, we're going to stand here and we're going to sing an invitation. Sermons are to be sermonic. They're to bring us to a bar. They're not just to be talking about good things. They're to challenge us. And Lord, I've been challenged by this message as I saw it and prepared it to preach it today. It stepped on me hard and brought me to the bar where I had to decide about my own faithfulness record. Am I satisfied with it? Am I pleased with what's going to be appearing before the judgment seat of Christ? Do I need to alter it? Do I need to improve it? Do I need to be a more faithful steward? I'm confident as I stand here before You, God of heaven, that has happened in this room right now. In these, most of whom in this room, not necessarily all, but most of whom in this room, know You as personal Savior. They belong to You. We belong to You. And everything we have is Yours. Now, Father, among us who are Your own children, who are Your stewards, Lord, may there be a searching of hearts, one by one by one. Who am I? What kind of rep for the Lord am I? What kind of stewardship record do I have? And Lord, if there are some changes that need to be made, and probably there are, there's room at the front. There's room for people to come here and bow before You and pour out their hearts and get some things straightened out, some people to do business with You. And Father, if that needs to happen in some hearts today, I pray that people will not be so afraid of what the neighbor might think if I went down front and bowed before You, but that they would come here and humble themselves and say, God of heaven, I need a better record. I want better stewardship from here forth. I want You to be able to count on me with that which You've entrusted to me. I will be a steward, a real faithful one. Father, if there are some people in this room who are saved, who need a good church, they need to get to where they can begin. We're at the beginning of a new year. It's a good time to say, I need to get plugged in. I haven't been very faithful to church. And not only am I not faithful in one, I'm not in a church where I'm attending. I need a good church where I can call it home and invest. Lord, the invitation, You know, is open. And may those who need to come, would like to be a part of this church, come here and say, I'm ready. Plug me in. I want to be a member in this church. And we'll take care of whatever it takes to be. Father, there are some people probably in this very room who are not Christians. Good people. Come to church every now and then. Pay their debts. Pretty moral. Good citizens. They're just lost. And here's the time, the talent, the treasure, existence on this earth they have, and yet just going away. Lord, they need to be saved. And they could be saved today, right here in this room, trusting You as personal Savior. Lord, there are those in this room who need to come today and say, hey, I need some more answers. Would You talk to me? Would You set up a time when we can get together and I'll get my questions answered? I want to be a Christian. Lord, may they come. Lord, this is Your invitation. It's not mine. It's Yours. And this is Your word. I just preach what You put in the Bible. Lord, may it find good hearts and soil today. In Jesus' name I pray.